Good morning. I have some questions for you this morning. I don't want you to answer out loud. Partly because I don't really need you to answer out loud. I could probably answer these questions for you, but I want you to answer these questions for yourself. How do you feel this morning? And I don't mean like I feel tired, I feel hungry, not those kind of feelings. I mean, what's your emotional state of mind this morning? How do you feel this morning? Okay, next question. How do you normally feel? I normally feel tired and hungry, but again, those don't count. What's your normal emotional state of mind? Just think about that one. Here's some other questions that I want you to think about. Are you an emotional person? There's no wrong answers to these questions. Just think about them. Are you an emotional person? And you might be thinking, well, what do you mean by that? Could mean anything. You decide what it means. Are you an emotional person? What do you do with your emotions? Do you tend to hide your emotions? Do you wear your emotions on your sleeve? Do you find your emotions annoying and so you ignore your emotions? What do you do with your emotions? Are you in control of your emotions? There's a tough question. Are you in control of your emotions? Or could it be the opposite? Are your emotions in control of you? Do you understand your emotions? These are interesting questions, I think. You probably guessed my topic for this morning. I want to talk about emotions. And eventually, I'll get into why I wanted to talk about this particular subject. But I thought it would be good to begin my lesson by defining emotion for you. What is emotion? What are emotions? What does it mean to feel an emotion? You know, this is really tricky. And apparently nobody else has a good way of defining emotions either. Here's one definition. Emotion is a subjective, conscious experience characterized primarily by psychophysical expressions, biological reactions, and mental states. So now you know exactly what emotion is, right? Webster's was really helpful too. Listen to this definition. Emotion is the affective aspect of consciousness, a state of feeling, a conscious mental reaction as anger or fear, subjectively experienced as strong feeling, usually directed toward a specific object, though not necessarily, and typically accompanied by a physiological and behavioral change in the body. So this is really getting clear now, isn't it? Right, what emotions are. The dictionary goes on to say, the emotions are generally understood as representing a synthesis of subjective experience, expressive behavior, and neurochemical activity. Right? So the good thing about this topic is I don't feel like I need to tell you what emotions are. I think you know what emotions are. It's how you feel. And you understand why this is complicated. If you tell me that your emotion right now is happy, how do you explain that? What does it mean to feel happy? Well, you'd probably explain it by some other emotion that is a synonym for happy. So, assuming that we sort of all understand what the idea of emotion is, why would we talk about that this morning? Well, because emotions do matter. They absolutely do matter. The Bible talks about emotions. It's important that we understand emotions, and specifically this morning, we want to know what does God say about emotion? Emotions like feeling sad, feeling happy, feeling excited, other emotions that fit into the category that I'm talking about. Again, I'm not talking about, you know, I feel something like I feel tired, I feel hungry, not those kinds of feelings. Your mental state of mind. I feel worried. I feel depressed. I feel at peace. I feel anxious. What does it mean to feel those things? I think you understand it, but why does that matter? What does the Bible say about these emotions? The first thing that I think we need to understand is that emotions come from God, or at least our ability to experience emotions come from God. God gave you the ability to feel something like happy. God gave you the ability to feel sad, to feel bad, to feel anxious, to feel depressed. God gave you, in your body, the ability to experience that. So it's on purpose. You're supposed to have those kinds of feelings. And this is evident from the very beginning. Think about this in Genesis chapter 3. After Adam and Eve sin, what do? They run away from God, don't they? They try to hide from God. And here's what it says in Genesis chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" As if God didn't know. And then verse 10. So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." I don't know how many days Adam and Eve had existed at this point, but immediately we see that human beings experienced emotions. Why was Adam afraid? Well, apparently he understood that he had sinned, and he understood that there were potentially going to be consequences for those sins. In fact, God had told him, "In the day that you sin, you're going to die." But Adam doesn't say to God, "Well, I was concerned about the consequences. I was trying to prevent the consequences." That's not what Adam says. Adam tells God how he felt, and that feeling was, "I'm afraid." That was his mental state of mind. Was that a bad thing that Adam was afraid? Not at all. Adam probably should have been afraid. He had a reason to feel that way. And that feeling prompted him to act. And I don't think that's an accident. God gave us the ability to experience these emotions. And as we progress through this sermon, I think we'll come to realize it's important that we understand what to do with them. This emotion came from God because God put it in Adam and all of us to have these types of sensations. Human beings are designed by God to experience emotions. And because of that, it shouldn't be surprising that our emotions can be useful to us, right? Our emotions can enhance our service to God. And this was really the root of my interest in the topic. I don't know why I think about these sort of things, but I was watching a Royals baseball game, and I was getting excited, right? What does it mean to feel excited? I mean, some of you may have been watching the same games. You know, when a Giants fan was watching Game 6, we were watching the same thing, but the way I felt about it was different than how they felt about it, right? It's just an emotion. I felt excited. And I got to thinking, why do I feel excited? Now, that's a complicated thing to ask yourself. Why do I feel excited, and why do humans even experience things like that? You know, when I was growing up as a kid, you know, I remember playing baseball. I loved the feeling of winning. That felt good. It was a good feeling. And I hated the feeling of losing. That's a different emotion. You don't like it. And it makes you wonder, why do we have those types of experiences as humans? And then I started to wonder, well, if I have these emotions in trivial matters, is it appropriate for these kinds of emotions also to be applied in spiritual matters and things that really do make a difference? And I think the answer is absolutely yes. There's an appropriate time for a Christian to feel excited. There's an appropriate time for a Christian to feel lost. Emotions, like I said, enhance our service to God. So, number one, know that emotions are given to us by God. He equipped us to experience them. Number two, emotions enhance our service to God. And I think one very good evidence of this is in Joshua chapter 1. Let me read this to you. Joshua chapter 1, and pay careful attention to the emotions. Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life." This is God talking to Joshua. "No one shall stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I shall be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide it as an inheritance, the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. So God makes some pretty lofty promises to Joshua. And how was Joshua supposed to feel about that? Well, God tells him that he is supposed to have some emotions related to it. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. I think you could argue that there is supposed to be an emotional response there. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God is telling Joshua that you should have some good emotions right now. You should feel good that I'm promising you that I'm going to be with you the rest of your life. You're supposed to experience that some emotion. Joshua was supposed to. And why was it valuable for Joshua to have that emotion? It wasn't just confidence. It wasn't just a logical reaction to what God was telling him. He says, do not be afraid because you don't have anything to be afraid of. Another thing to remember about emotions is that some emotions are good, some emotions are bad. And by that, I mean some emotions are appropriate, they're from God, they're good. Some emotions are inappropriate, they're not good, they're from Satan. Let's talk about those first kinds of emotions first. Some emotions are from God, there are appropriate emotions. The Bible talks about how we should experience some emotions. God equipped us to experience these emotions, and it's interesting that God, it seems, even plants some emotions in our hearts. The fruits of the Spirit are a good example of this. I talked about these the last time I gave a lesson. And notice, I'm going to read the fruits of the Spirit, and notice how at least a few of these are emotions. That doesn't mean they're separated from logic, but they're emotions. It's how a Christian feels in response to different situations. Again, take notice of some of these that you might call emotions. Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Joy, what is that? It's a feeling, isn't it? It's emotion that you're supposed to experience as a Christian. Peace also, I think, can be an emotion. It's a state of mind. It's being completely comfortable with your present situations. Regardless of how crazy things might be, you may not actually be at peace in your life at all, but in your mind, you can be at peace. Romans chapter 15, verse 13 also talks about emotions that come from God. And incidentally, it also mentions here joy and peace. Now may the God of hope fill you with all, fill you with joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So these are good emotions, right? These are appropriate emotions that Christians are supposed to experience. But here's the other thing that's interesting. There's appropriate emotions. This is one thing I found very interesting in my studies. There are appropriate emotions, emotional responses that aren't necessarily desirable. They're not what we would typically call good emotions, but they're from God. And this is part of the reason I wondered about this. Why do human beings experience an emotion like jealousy? Is that ever a good thing? And if it's not ever a good thing, why did God put it there? Well, it's because sometimes it is an appropriate emotion. If you're a married person and you see someone approaching your spouse in a way that isn't appropriate, how should you feel about that? You absolutely should feel jealousy because they're your spouse. They're not somebody else's. And God gave you that emotion so that you could respond appropriately. And there's lots of other emotions like that as well. Think about anger. Anger is an emotion that sometimes we think of as just being bad, that nobody should ever feel angry. Is that true? Not at all. There is an appropriate time to be angry. Let me ask you a question. Did Jesus ever experience these kinds of emotions? Was Jesus ever mad? Yes, absolutely. The Bible tells us specifically that there were times that Jesus experienced emotions like this. In fact, there was at least one time in the Bible where we're told specifically that Jesus was angry. Listen to this scenario in Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. This is Jesus. He, Jesus, entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. This is a story you know, but again, pay attention to the emotion. There was a man there with a withered hand. So they, the high priest, the Pharisees, they watched him closely to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Step forward." And he said to them, talking to the Pharisees and the chief priests, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they kept silent. And then verse 5, "And when he had looked around at them with anger and grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand,' and he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as it was the other." That's interesting to me. Jesus didn't just feel anger. He actually looked around at these people and showed them that he was angry. He looked at them with anger because he was so incredibly disappointed with them that they were deliberately watching him to try to pick out to see if he was going to fail so that they could judge him. And Jesus looked at them with anger. There are appropriate times to be angry. Think about some other emotions that, again, we think of as bad emotions, but they're still very appropriate at certain times. What about embarrassment or shame? Nobody ever likes to feel embarrassment or shame. But those emotions, again, God equipped us to experience them. So there must be an appropriate time to feel embarrassment or shame. And is there an appropriate time to feel that? Of course there is. When we sin, we should be embarrassed about it. We should feel shame over it. And if we don't feel that emotion, then it's a problem. We just studied this in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 15. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No. They were not ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. They'd lost that emotion towards sin. It no longer stirred up those emotions to make them feel bad. So you see how good emotions have a place in the Christian life, and even bad emotions have a place in the Christian life. So many emotions are very appropriate. But then the other side is also true, right? There are times when some emotions are not appropriate. And it's important as Christians that we acknowledge that. Some emotions come from God. Some emotions come from our flesh or come from Satan. I'm going to read to you from Galatians chapter 5 again, the works of the flesh. Just like we read the works of the Spirit, we noticed that some of the fruits of the Spirit, we noticed some of those are really emotions. Also notice here how some of the works of the flesh, they're emotions, they're feelings. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. "Now the works of the flesh are evident. They are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred." That's potentially an emotion, not always, but potentially an emotion. "Contentions, jealousies." That's an emotion. "Outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies." Verse 21, "envy." That's potentially an emotion. Murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. And then notice what he says about all of these works of the flesh. "Of which I told you before and tell you now that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Bad emotions aren't always a sin, but it sounds like sometimes they can be a sin. If your life is defined by emotions like envy or jealousy, if we could call hatred an emotion, is that a sin? God, it must be. It must be a sin because God tells us these things separate us from God. They separate us from Him. So it means that at least in some circumstances, they must be sin. And this is probably an appropriate time, since we're talking about inappropriate emotions, this is probably an appropriate time to point out that it's important to keep our emotions in context. Because our emotions can deceive us, can't they? Emotions don't prove anything to us. They can enhance our relationship with God. Emotions can enhance our service to God. But emotions in and of themselves can be very deceptive. be very deceptive. Let me give you a few examples. These are emotions that are potentially good emotions, but in the wrong situation, they're very bad. Feeling passionate about something, I mean, you think usually that's good. It's good to feel passionate about something. I think you can call that an emotion. Passion is an emotion. You may feel passionate about an opinion that you have, but does that make our opinion right? Of course not. But it's tempting to feel that way, right? The stronger we feel about something, the more emotions that something carries with us, the more vindicated we feel, the more legitimate that something sounds to us. But that doesn't make it right. So remember that, that just because we have strong emotions associated with something doesn't make it right, but it doesn't make it wrong either. We can be completely convinced, very emotional about something that we believe is wrong, passionate about something that we believe is wrong. But does that make us correct? Of course not. Our emotions can deceive us. There's other very obvious examples about this. You've heard people say, it can't be wrong if it makes you happy. Is that true? Of course not. Absolutely that's not true. There's a lot of people in the world who are very happy sinning. And again, happiness is an emotion. And their emotion about sinning is happy. They're glad they're doing it. But that doesn't make the sin any more right. Feeling at peace with God is a good feeling, but that doesn't necessarily prove that we are, in fact, at peace with God. Do you see what I mean? We can have emotions about things in our spiritual life, but the emotions don't prove anything. Emotions can also be deceptive in other ways, too. Someone who tends to be depressed, they constantly have this feeling of self-worthlessness. But does that emotion prove that that person really lacks self-worth? Not at all. See, our emotions can lie to us as well. Feeling depressed is not evidence that we're living a cursed life. It's just an emotion. And in many cases, those emotions come from Satan because Satan understands how our emotions affect us. So it is true that sometimes emotions can compete with logic. That doesn't mean they're always separate. I've heard people say, well, I'm just not an emotional decision maker. I'm really a logical decision maker. Well, maybe that's true, but that's not necessarily a good thing, right? Remember, God gave us emotions. Emotions, if they're used appropriately, can actually enhance our decision making. When you see someone that you love sinning, the logical response is that sin is bad and I should do something about it. I mean, that's just logic. But when you love that person, there's a lot of emotions that come with it too. And so those emotions motivate you to do something that maybe logic wouldn't have motivated you to do. And so that's why it's so important to be in control of our emotions. And that's the next point. I don't know if this is true or not, but I have a feeling that there's people in the world, maybe even in here, I really don't know. I'm only bringing you one perspective this morning, and that's my perspective. So if there's something that you see a little bit differently, I think that's okay. But it seems to me that there's probably people in the world that don't think that they can control their emotions, that they think that if they feel happy, it's just because something happened to them that caused them to feel happy. That if they feel sad, it's just because they feel sad and there's nothing they can do about it. If they feel bad or depressed, or if they feel great, it just happened and they don't have any control over the emotions that they experience. In the Bible, I think there's some evidence to show us that that's not really true. And part of the reason I'm giving this lesson is, you know, just thinking about emotions over the last few weeks. Let me give you an example. So I've noticed, just observing myself at work lately, I'm just a little grumpier than normal. I don't have as good of feelings about work. My emotions about work aren't so great. Well, why? Who decided that? I mean, what happened that made me all of a sudden not have as good of feelings about work? It's the same job. literally nothing has changed. It's the same job. And for whatever reason, I don't know. I really don't know. And so Monday, I'm going back, and I decided I'm going to stop being grumpy about work. And there's evidence in the Bible that we're equipped to do that. We actually have control, some control, not complete control, but I think we do have some control over the emotions that we experience. Think about Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Is being anxious an emotion? It's just a feeling. You know, things are going on around you and you don't have control over them. There's lots of ways that you can respond to that in your mind. You can be anxious about it, which I don't even know how to describe what anxiety is, but you know what it is. You can be anxious about it, or you can be okay with it. And what's God tell you to feel about it? God says, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Well, how do I do that, God? God doesn't answer the question right there, but what I say is, just don't. Just don't be anxious. And maybe I'm oversimplifying it, but I think you can do that. I know that you can do that. If you're in a situation that bothers you, stop letting it bother you. If it needs to be fixed, then fix it. And just don't be anxious about it. That's what God says. Don't be anxious about it. Instead, what are you supposed to do? What's that verse say? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. Being anxious doesn't help you, does it? Being anxious doesn't help you. If anything, it should just be the first step to help you realize that you need to pray. Then leave the anxiety behind and start praying about it. You can control that. God says you can. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32. Another evidence that we can be in control of our emotions. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who... what's that?
Takes a city.
Yeah, thank you. My notes got blurred here. So you know that verse, Bob?
No, I'm looking at it.
Oh, you're looking at it.
I opened my Bible and went right to Proverbs 16.
Great. Well, that was very good timing. So you heard the verse, he who rules his spirit is better than he who takes a city. Isn't that interesting? So is God just saying that the person who is capable of ruling his spirit is just inherently better than the person who's not capable of ruling his spirit? That couldn't be what he's saying. The implication is everyone makes the decision to rule their spirit and their emotions or not to. Which is why he says you're much better off being slow to anger. Not that anger is in itself bad, but you're better off being slow to getting angry. And you can decide to do that. I remember when I was a kid, I'm sure there's lots of reasons for it, but I remember even as a child, I just hated to see people lose their temper. And so I decided, even as a kid, I am not going to do that. I'm not going to be the kind of person that can't control their anger. And I think that most of you that know me would agree that that's just something I don't do. I can't even remember the last time that I was genuinely... I mean, I get annoyed with things, but, you know, angry to the point that it just is an overwhelming emotion. Angry to the point that you're yelling about it, that you're doing, you know, that I would do things or say things that I wouldn't otherwise do. And I think people are capable of that, deciding what emotions they experience. Colossians chapter 3, here's some good emotions that we should experience. Colossians 3, verse 15, God says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Well, how do you do that? Part of it is giving up on some of those other emotions, putting anger away, putting anxiety away, and then you can let the peace of God, that emotional state of mind, start to rule in your heart. So not only are we supposed to have some control over what emotions we experience at all, God also tells us that we should be in control of what we do with our emotions. So there is an appropriate time to be angry, right? Let's just use that as an example. There absolutely is an appropriate time to be angry. There's an appropriate time to be disappointed. There probably are appropriate times to be worried. There's appropriate times to be sad. Appropriate times to feel bad. But what do you do with that? God tells us that we have to be in control of how we respond to those emotions. There's a couple of very good passages on this subject. One of them is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Paul says, be angry and what? sin not. So God says you can be angry, but don't sin. You have to be in control of how you respond to that anger. Anger is an emotion. You get to decide what you do with that emotion. You can sin, you can do something dumb, or, you know, there's a reason God gave us anger. Or you can use that emotion to fix whatever situation gave you that feeling. Here's another example of how God is absolutely expecting us to control our feelings. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11. This is such a good passage. A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. Isn't that interesting? A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. And then one more passage telling us how it's important that we control what we do with our emotions. I won't even read you this passage because you know it so well. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and we would start in verse 8. But you know the situation. In 1 Corinthians, Paul had written a very sorrowful letter to the Corinthian church, didn't he? There was someone who was sinning in that church. They didn't do anything about it. And how did that make the church at Corinth feel? Do you remember? How did it make them feel? Go ahead. Well, yeah, the sin itself made them proud. But when they got the letter from Paul, how did that letter make them feel?
Sorrowful.
Yeah. What did they do with that sorrow? Paul tells them there's two kinds of sorrow, aren't there? There's sorrow, there's worldly sorrow, and there's godly sorrow. And I think it's the same kind of sorrow. It's just what you do with it, isn't it? Sorrow, in this case, what did it lead the Corinthians to do? It led them to repent. It was a good thing that they felt bad about it. And Paul tells them, I'm not sorrowful that I made you sorry. I'm sorry I had to make you sorry, but I'm not sorry that I made you sorry. Because it led them to repentance. All of this is important because of this last point, and I feel like I've been saying this all along, but let me make sure and say it as clearly as possible. We must control our emotions because our emotions shape our actions. Your emotions can help you to make good decisions. Your emotions can also prevent you from making good decisions. Your emotions can cause you to make bad decisions, but your emotions can also prevent you from making bad decisions. Emotions are important. They're given to us by God, and they can help us if we use them appropriately. So in summary, emotions come from God. We should acknowledge that and use emotions in our own life to enhance our service to God. And I think this is a pretty straightforward idea. God gave you the ability to feel excited. There's times that you should feel excited. You should feel a level of excitement to do the right thing. You should feel some excitement to serve God. There's times when you should feel happy. You should feel happy when God blesses you. That's a good feeling, and I think God wants you to experience that emotion. That's why He tells us all through the Bible to let yourself experience the joy that comes with being a Christian. We should be excited. We should have feelings of happiness. But we should not be anxious about trials. In fact, what does James say about trials? Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. When things get difficult, don't feel bad about it. Be happy about it. Because you know that those trials are going to make you a better person. There's times that you should feel guilty or shame or feel embarrassment. When we sin, that's an appropriate emotion. We should be in control of those emotions, and we should use those emotions to serve God. Thanks for entertaining me this morning on this subject. I don't know anyone's spiritual condition this morning, but God does, and I think you do as well. So if there's anyone here today that is in need of the salvation that God can provide, if you're lacking the joy and the peace that comes with being a Christian, if your life is currently filled with negative emotions like anxiety, guilt, shame, embarrassment, there's a resolution to that. And the first step is to become a Christian. to let someone here immerse you in the waters of baptism. God will fill you up with the Holy Spirit, and you'll start to experience all the benefits and joys of being a Christian. If we can help you with that now, or help you in any other way, come forward as we stand and sing the closing number.